November 6, 2023. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. And living the better life means sweating big numbers in the futures markets. Look, we all hear these stories of people who had this team at 50 to 1, this team at 66 to 1, this team at 70 to 1, this bet at 100 to 1. And we think, oh man, like, how cool would it be to sniff out the value on a bet like that, place it, and then watch it get to the final stages, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, come home. I am all but to that last part there of it coming home. Charleston Battery in the USL Championship. I snagged at 100 to 1 at the beginning of the season. They are going to be hosting Phoenix Rising on Sunday. And it's not for an insignificant amount of money either, relative to how I bet too. So, possibly a big payday coming for me on Sunday. Also sweating Sporting Kansas City. They were 100 to 1 going into the playoffs. A lot of people wrote them off like, this team just couldn't get together. Man, they've turned it on in the second half of the MLS season. And, that set of players that looked like they could do well, finally doing well. They're turning it on at the right time too here in the playoffs. They're on to the conference semifinals. I got them at 100 to 1 as well, so I'll be rooting that in. So a couple big numbers on some big soccer teams, and I'm stoked. I will just if you're into soccer, on ESPN Plus, I believe, is where you'll be able to watch the final between Charleston and Phoenix. And if you happen to catch it, just know that I am rooting hard for the Charleston Battery. It's been a while, folks. How are you? I hope everybody's well. Hope your Halloween was safe. Hope your Labor Day was good. Feels like it's been that long. I think I've posted since Labor Day, but it feels like it's been that long. I'm gonna put a couple of housekeeping notes here at the top. We'll get into the content and then some updates after the feature content. So this week's feature content is going to be it's gonna be 55 minutes, 53-ish maybe. Looking at the metrics here, 53 minutes from the latest Better Life 2.0 series. And you may be thinking, hey Tim. Some of us have been subscribed to that private feed. What are you doing just giving away the goods for free? Well, I hope you would understand as a Better Life listener that I just kind of need to get the ball rolling again. I need to get a little bit of momentum. And so I'm dipping in the bag of what's already there. Eric and I just published an episode in the Better Life 2.0 feed at 1 hour and 37 minutes. So this is 53 minutes of that segment. So you have well over about 40 minutes still of content that's still sitting over there for you to listen to if you're not on that feed. But I decided to put this up here to let people who are unfamiliar with Better Life 2.0 give them an idea of what this is like. My buddy Eric and I. He's affectionately called my better half. He was a part of the era of the Better Life that I call Better Life 2.0, and that's when Eric was the co-host of the Better Life. Now, at episode 100, Eric departed, and I've been hosting the show on my own ever since. Well, not too long ago, Eric and I decided, hey, let's do content again. It was originally on Patreon. There was something about Patreon that made me like uncomfortable. I never felt like I was like doing enough for Patreon subscribers. So I got rid of Patreon and I created a private feed that has a one-time access feed of access fee of $25. This has been a popular enough feed and we have enough in the bank that I think I'm going to increase the access fee by $5 or $10 come the beginning of the year. So if you like what you hear and you want to hear more of it on a monthly basis, go to bettermerch.com, find the Better Life 2.0 access fee for the private feed, use a email address that that you can you want to receive the updates in, because I'm going to add that email address to the subscriber list, and then you'll have access to the private feed. So that's the deal here. Look, for those of you that are already subscribed, yes, you've heard this before. I do apologize, but I hope you can understand that, one, trying to promote the product, and two, trying to get the Better Life main feed up and going again. Trying to get the ball rolling, get off the schneid, if you will. I don't know if that applies here, but that's what I'm saying. Okay, Eric went out to Tahoe for Zorkfest. He took a little road trip from Vegas up to Tahoe, and he tells us a lot about that trip here in this segment, plus a few other discussions. I hope you enjoy.
Yo, I have an aside for you, but we have to talk about this.
Okay.
So, not too long ago, Caesar's Palace. I'm talking about the Twitter account for Caesar's Palace, or the Twitter account for Caesar's as an entire casino entity. I'm trying to scroll to find it real quick so that way I can. But I don't know if I'm gonna be able to find it. They tweeted out a photo of their poolside blackjack, and the caption said "poker by the pool," and it's clearly a blackjack table. My question to you is:
maybe they were referring to the bikini clad dealer.
So there's
poker by the pool.
Poker, I barely know her. Do you think that they just got it wrong and they don't care, or? I don't know if you were tracking this, but Silverton got something way wrong a few weeks ago, and like the whole community blasted him for it. And unlike any other property, Silverton responded and actually made a joke out of it. They quote tweeted something about how, like, you know, off of a night long bender or whatever, they couldn't get the tweet right, which was actually a pretty funny response to all of us being like, come on, he got this wrong. Do you think that we have made, like, the only tweets from casinos that get engagements are one where the photos don't match the caption? So have we bred an environment where they are going to deliberately get things wrong for the sake of engagement, or am I giving them even too much credit for that?
Well, so this is certainly more your area of expertise, so I will defer to you, but I think you're giving them way too much credit.
So I think I'm giving them way too much credit, because for the accounts that I do, I would never get something wrong deliberately just for engagement, because I'd get drugged through the mud. But I can see a casino not really caring. You know, like, what does it matter to them? So philosophically, I think they'd be more willing to do it than I would. But that's because I run a different type of product.
Yeah, but so there's the enterprise. There's the casinos. You have, you know, those in various forms of online marketing. With a company as large as Caesar's, I tend to believe the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And the people that are, you know, handling their social media accounts could do the same job for any company, any industry. Yeah. They're background is social media. Their background is not casino. So
I just saw that.
Just don't know the difference.
I just saw that the tweet's actually deleted. So I'm gonna guess that it wasn't on purpose. Because if it was, they went and removed it. So
look, I think I'm 2 for 2. I got Eric Carl and this. Look at that. I'm batting 1,000 already.
You sure are. Yeah. something I often see on social media, and I may have mentioned this before, but like as someone who still is part of managing social media in my professional life, it always amuses me when someone sees a mistake on social media, they automatically blame quote unquote the intern who runs the social media. I had to break it to you people, but like full grown adults who have been in the industry for a while, the ones that run these accounts, like it's not as I'm sure there are interns who have their hands on social media, but the days of social media just being handed down to the lowest paid employee, that's like 10 years ago. Social media is such a baked in, Eric is he has eyes that maybe he disagrees with me, probably because his intern runs his company media.
No. But I listen, we all make mistakes, right?
Yes.
We all screw up. When I screw up, it's not portrayed in front of a million or millions of people to to view my screw up, and then you're going to remember it. And that's going to be, right? I mean, it's really, and I don't, I think casinos in general do a very poor job of doing this type of marketing. But you're only going to remember the screw ups, the 99% that were, you know, maybe not inspiring, but accurate. They just kind of get glossed over, but you're going to remember over and over again when they make the one mistake, and then it gets shared, and then it gets retweeted, and then it, you know what I mean? Like it's
so you're right. My point being is those mistakes aren't being made by, like, we see a mistake on social media and we assume it's because some low paying employee just doesn't care. What I'm trying to say is there's a good chance that it's someone who makes, like, you know, a significant amount of money for their industry or for their locality, who's been doing this for 10 years and, to your point, are making a mistake that just now hundreds of thousands of people get to see.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just the other day, I'm not telling anybody to go look for it, but just the other day, I got the death date of someone, death year. I got the death year of someone wrong. I mean, it happens.
Listen, I don't have anybody looking over my shoulder to point out every mistake I make on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis. So I don't know.
Let me get on a soapbox real quick about doing social media. Not only do I have my audience to tell me that I got doing something wrong, I have every last fucking colleague trying to give me ideas, because the thing about doing social media or digital media in general, but specifically social media, is everybody has experience with it because everybody has a social media profile, right? And so because they're on social media constantly and possibly creating their own content and possibly even being successful with their own content, everybody has ideas for how your entity should do it, even in, and they all come to you because you're the one who, anyways, it could be annoying. Yeah, but we'll talk about that another day. Okay, you stayed at Point on Hollywood. So do you go from Vegas straight to Reno, or do you stop anywhere in between?
Yeah, in between Vegas and Reno, there is this little town.
Pahrump.
Did not go to Pahrump.
Gotcha.
Tonopah, I think it was called, something like that. It is a little town in the middle of nowhere. You are driving through the desert, and they have a sign up that says, only casinos for 100 miles, which is like the only place in Nevada where in any direction you have to go more than 100 miles to, get to a casino. They had a handful there, you know, nothing. Oh, so, you know, the terrible blackjack, games, usually they're on a slant top, video poker machine, and then you can even money on blackjack.
Yeah,
and usually you can bet from 1 to 10 units depending on the denomination.
Yeah,
so they had a penny machine that you could bet 1 unit on.
You could bet 1 penny at a time.
You could bet 1 penny at a time on blackjack and get free drinks.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't stick around long enough to...
I mean, that's EV. There's positive EV there.
You're driving at least 100 miles to get there, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't drive out. But, like, in a vacuum, but at least you're getting free drinks. Yeah, at most tables, you're losing a ton of money still, right?
Right. Right.
But at the single penny blackjack machine,
correct,
you could go through 200 units and still be ahead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there was nothing,
I love that.
There was nothing inspiring about, this area, but it, you know, we like going to casinos and we like road trips. So, you know, the weird oddball things are worth checking out. For those of you with chip collection ideas, you better show up at night or on the weekend because tables are not open any other time. And so, a few of them didn't have tables at all.
That's what I was going to ask, because I think I know that a lot of those areas that have less clientele to depend on usually just go to machines only.
Yeah. So the one that we spent the most time at tables could be opened by request. I think it was called Tanopa Station. Tables could be opened by request. And on their website, you know, if somebody hit like a $40 line hit, they were celebrating them on there.
Nice.
So I don't I don't expect there to be they probably sweat very little action.
Tanopa Station looks like it was built the same year that Billy the Kid was the most wanted person in the United States.
That's what the whole town looks like.
Yeah.
The whole town. I mean, it's so the route from Vegas to Reno has these like ghost towns that you drive through,
Yeah.
where it's just like, wow, I bet a long time ago this was, you know, pretty cool, but
Yeah.
long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, when you had to park your horse out front, that must have been a wild place to be.
There, so I don't think it was Tonopah. We stopped someplace else where there were people using horses for transportation.
I bet.
Yep.
Did you end up staying anywhere in Tonopah or just driving through?
No, straight. No, there were. So I think Tonopah is where they have that clown motel that's pretty famous.
Oh man, you
And
are selling the shit out of this town.
listen, I'm not part of their
Oh, the
tourism
world famous
bureau.
clown motel. You were not
Yeah.
lying. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
yeah, 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 yeah. So, you know,
Oh my
there's.
God, that is fucking horrifying. I
Yeah.
would not want to stay somewhere like that.
We didn't stay in any of these places. It was a drive-through. There was a
Oh my God. This is
there
creepy
was
as
there
shit.
was a there was a hotel on the side of the road referred to as the Shady Lady. And as you drive by, you this hotel appears to be just a trailer in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, the mind wanders what might be offered there. It was definitely a desolate enough county that it could be a brothel, but
Yeah.
I didn't find out. But yeah, a lot of things to see along the way. I mean, it was, if you like road tripping and you don't mind being in the middle of nowhere and you like seeing the oddball things, Tonopah checks a lot of the boxes.
According to Google Maps, about 3 hour drive.
Yeah, it's about halfway. So from Vegas to Reno was about 7 hours.
Okay.
And yeah, I would say it's
Were
right.
you aware of this like little town ahead of time, or was it like something you stumbled across on the trip?
I don't research any of this,
Oh,
but
okay. You were just like, oh, look,
well,
casino signs.
you're like on the road and it takes you right through.
Sure.
But
Okay.
yeah.
Anything notable you can remember from this, from your time at Tonopah Station or
So Tonopah Station has a sign in the hotel lobby letting you know that all rooms have indoor plumbing, which
That's huge.
that's a big perk, let me tell you.
Look, that was a huge advancement in engineering. You know what I mean? Like, humans were really onto something when they hit indoor plumbing. So I can see why they would want to brag about it.
100%.
Yeah.
Could you? I mean, if they didn't have it, you'd certainly notice and be disappointed. So
Yeah.
here's to indoor plumbing.
Here's
Cheers.
the indoor plumbing. Okay, did you st and then you said about halfway to Reno. Did you stop anywhere else, or was it just on to Reno from there?
I was just on to Reno from there.
Okay.
Yeah. So Reno, we stayed at the El Dorado.
Okay.
So El Dorado is the company that acquired Caesars. And I'm sure most of the listeners know that, but they took on the Caesars name. But El
Right.
Dorado was a major player in Reno. They have a place, it's called The Row, and it is three properties that are connected. And we stayed at the namesake at El Dorado, and we wound up coming back after Tahoe, and it really turned out to be a very, very cool place, but there were things that you needed to know that we didn't know on the front end. So I mean, it was fine. Reno, I think I'm dancing on the line again. If you're like me and you care about value gambling and you care about being appreciated, you're going to like Reno quite a bit. If you go to Vegas and you stay at Cosmo and you're there for the vibe and the energy, you're going to hate Reno. I mean, it's the polar opposite of Cosmo. That's the best way I could describe it. A lot of older people, low limit gambling, not as low in some areas as I would have thought or liked, but value is definitely there and people are super, super nice. I received more sincere thank yous for tokes than I think ever before. I mean, they really went out of their way to show their appreciation. Funny thing about El Dorado, they had one person doing valet as well as being your initial bellman. So when there's a line of five cars in front of you and everybody has bags that need to be brought in, you're gonna be sitting there a while. And then the same one guy on the way out.
Poor guy.
Well, I mean, he was hustling, he was making money. But after the first day, I just self-parked. I wasn't gonna deal with that again. That took quite a while.
What's Reno's tagline? The biggest little city in the world.
And
My
by the
only
way,
Go ahead.
the row is right next to that sign. So for those of you that like to take pictures by the signs, like the Las Vegas sign or the Reno sign, you're right there.
My only reference to Reno, and I don't remember it a lot, but this is back, I lived in Sacramento from like late 2011 to mid 2012, and I would occasionally ride my motorcycle up to Reno or Tahoe, and I'd swing in there and I'd walk around the casino and make some sport bets and maybe play a little bit. Not enough to really have any stories. I don't have any really recollections. This was definitely way before I knew anything about casino gaming and how to leverage player clubs and all sort of stuff. So like I think this was still even when I wasn't fully committed to being a chip collector. So I may not even have chips from those from institutions either. But I remember getting there in the middle of, weekday, midday, and it's like, oh, you're like, oh, this is like one of those kind of environments. It's one of those weird things that even, we talk a lot about degenerate gambling. We talk a lot about gambling discipline and sort of the balance between recreation and whatnot. But I think we've all had that experience where you walk into a joint at a certain time of the day or whatever, and you just get that feeling where you're like, you get that like that weird feeling about the environment. You know what I mean? Like you walk in and you're like, oh, this feels weird. Like the clientele who's here, just the vibe, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, particularly when it's older people, right? So, I mean, I have definitely, like, I can close my eyes and I can picture coming down the escalator onto a casino floor that was sad, frankly. And,
Yeah,
you
it's a
know,
good way of
this,
putting it.
right? And you just think to yourself, like, my God, I don't want this to be my future. Like, this is not, not where I want to be. And I would say Reno probably had a number of establishments like that. One of the places that I think fit the bill, but we had a great time at, was the Cal Neva, which,
I can't picture it, but I know that was one of the spots I went to. I think
isn't that where,
Chris Andrews used to run that joint at the sports book anyways,
exactly. That's where I was going. Anyway, so They had one of those, like, I don't remember. It was like stupid cheap, like $6.99 steak and egg special. Okay, so it was one of those where, now, let me tell you, the food was not great, but
But
this was old school coffee shop
nice.
with Keno runners.
No, we love that.
Right. So
Yeah.
we went for breakfast. The food was questionably edible, but the Keno runners made that, well, runners, it was one woman who ran the Keno desk and came around in the diner.
I
And
love that.
yeah, it was, I mean, it was great. We had a great time there. It was
Yeah.
really an awful lot of fun.
There's something about low cost gambling and low cost sort of resources and stuff that really help you kind of liven up. You know what I mean? And enjoy it a little bit more. When you're not thinking so much about like you get to a $15 table or a $25 table or craps, whatever, and like maybe you've had a rough day already and you're like, you have to think like how much do you really want to bet? But when you're talking about like a cheap meal and you can run some Keno, like you don't have to think about that as much. It allows you to enjoy it a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like
no,
penny
it was
blackjack
great.
machines.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, no, it was a throwback to a simpler time. And I'll tell you, all of Reno, and they do have some very nice places, but all of Reno was like the home of $10 Paigo. Like
Okay.
I think we made it to every property. Everyone that I went to had $10 Paigo. It
Standard
was
or face up?
both.
Or a mix? Yeah. Okay.
Mix, yeah. We wound up playing standard. I think that was all they were spreading at the Peppermill, which is where we played some
Peppermill.
Paigo. Great place,
Yeah.
great place. Yeah, really cool.
And like all of these are like in a really dense area, right? This is all walkable. Yeah, like there's
Well, so they're in clusters. I
Okay.
mean, we definitely there were a bunch that we had to drive a ways out, and
But
we wound up
smaller
just,
clusters than Biloxi, right? Like they're a little tighter knit clusters, if I'm remembering right. Maybe.
there are clusters that are tighter knit. So
Okay.
the best way I would describe Reno is, based upon the people that are there, how nice they are and how appreciative they are, this is Biloxi without the Southern charm.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But you
Like
still
all
felt appreciated as a customer.
100%, probably even more so than Biloxi.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really like they went out of their way, and not just on tokes, like even before you start, it was, I think, universally, just they want you there and they appreciate that you're there.
Yeah. Okay. I know that I'm just looking on maps here and seeing what pops up. Circus Circus, Peppermill, Atlantis Casino and Resorts.
Yep.
Anything stand out from what I'm listing here so far?
Oh, so here's my story with Circus Circus. So
Okay.
Circus Circus is part of the row with El Dorado and
When you're saying the row, you're talking like a row of casinos down a street.
yeah, but it is referred to as the row.
As the row. Okay. Oh,
Right. So
that's what's affectionally called there.
it is branded as the
Branded that
row.
way. Okay. Got
Okay.
it.
By El Dorado, or Caesars, as you will. So I go to Circus Circus, and none of the table games are open. And I go to the cage and I ask if I can buy a souvenir chip. And she says to me, "Well, you can go to," I keep wanting to call it the Silver Slipper. That's not what it's called.
Silver
It's the
Legacy.
Silver Legacy. That's it. You can go to Silver Legacy. They have a cage there. You can buy a chip from them. And I said, "Oh, I can get a Circus Circus chip from Silver Legacy." And she said, "No, the chips cost more to make than they're worth, so we don't have chips anymore." Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is not going to be the only interesting interaction with the cage. I'm going to get on a soapbox later when we
Okay.
get to the Tahoe portion. But
So, is what they're saying there is that Circus Circus doesn't have their own chips? Is that what I'm hearing?
no longer, right? They took their chips out of circulation, and their tables, I guess, are just never open. They're still on the floor. They have tables out there. They're just never
open. Oh, okay. So, okay. I thought maybe she was implying that they like co-use Silver Legacies or anything like that.
If they do, not at any time that I was there were those tables operational.
Okay.
So there's that.
What else you got in Reno here?
Atlantis. My favorite was Peppermill by far. Atlantis was nice, a little busy. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Very good sushi meal there for lunch. And, you know, you wouldn't think Reno would have great sushi. It was very good.
I'm sure it's fresh.
Yeah, caught that morning.
Yeah.
But in any event, yeah. Do you have a list in front of you there?
I actually just have maps open. Gold Dust West Casino.
Yeah, that you could pass on that. We went to two of them. There's one right in Reno and one way out on the way towards Tahoe. Neither one was really worth going to. Go ahead.
I was like Circus, Silver Legacy, and El Dorado. That's the row that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I see Calneva.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I have to go like, oh, yeah, Peppermill, Atlantis. That's all it's popping up on.
And then after that, you're driving.
Oh, Bonanza Casino right outside of Reno. Did you see this one?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
We went outside. We went to Sparks. There was a casino there that had like I think it was like a $2.99 breakfast special. It was like eggs,
nugget?
Potatoes, and toast. No.
Nugget Casino? No.
No, we went to Nugget in Sparks. There was a casino. I don't have the list in front of me.
Okay.
But in any event, it was a newer casino in Sparks. Really very nice. But, I mean, you're definitely making a trip specifically for it.
Legends Bay?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. I'm a fan. Have a good time there.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Reno, like, we both talked about how, you know, the Reno Tahoe area is just difficult to get to from our part of the country, our parts of the country, I should say. I mean, can you imagine ever coming out to Reno though, without an event happening nearby in Tahoe to drag you out there?
Yeah, I had a very good time. I would go back to Reno.
Okay.
I would. So Reno has the things about Vegas that I like or used to like. It just doesn't have the energy or the... it might be a little bit like Laughlin also. I think if you've spent any time there, it's really value oriented, and even the nicer properties like Peppermill offer good odds and lower limits. It's if you're going to gamble, right? So I spent the better part of my adult life going to Atlantic City, and with apologies to the new Spiegel World show they have there. There's nothing ever to do in Atlantic City other than gamble, really.
Yeah.
So if you're going on a trip to gamble, I thought Reno was great.
Where do you put Reno in your gambling destination list? How do you rank? What does it rank? Does it get a notch above Biloxi?
I like Biloxi better, but it's close.
Okay.
It's close, and it's for similar reasons. It's how nice the people are, the appreciation, Biloxi has the Gulf, which makes it more appealing, and the fact that I can just drive to Biloxi from my home, I think makes that, I guess, one notch up. But I would be surprised if I'm not back in Reno in the next year or two. I mean, it's cool enough to go back to, for
Okay.
sure.
Okay. Interesting. Then you head to Tahoe for Zorkfest.
For Zorkfest.
Shout out Michael Traeger. And
indeed.
I know he got some help from other people, but I'm not too clued in to know. I know Vegas Introvert.
Vegas
helps.
Introvert. Danny played an integral part in this.
Okay.
So let's give Danny some credit. He
very good.
He did a lot of work, and everything came together very nicely.
Good. Lake Tahoe. How many? There's only a few casinos there in Tahoe, right? I remember Harvey's, a Harrah's, and I think there's a couple others, right?
Golden Nugget, and a Bally's. I think it's four.
Bally's. Okay.
Yeah, off the top of my head. So we stayed at Harrah's. I guess let's get to the cage situation.
All right.
So Harrah's and Harvey's are connected by an underground tunnel.
I remember this.
They are certainly not too far apart for you to reasonably be expected to go from one to the other. However, okay. Lake Tahoe has a very interesting issue in that it's a very, very expensive place to live. It is beautiful there. It is picturesque. It is by far, I mean, it's got to be top five prettiest places I've seen in this country. It is beautiful from a natural, just the mountains and the lake. And anyway, it's gorgeous, which means it's very expensive to live there. And casino jobs are typically not very high paying. So they have a very, very difficult time having enough employees to run things there.
Okay.
Not COVID related. This was an issue before COVID.
Okay.
Okay. Going to Harvey's, you can buy in at a table, hand them your money. They hand you chips. You then play at the table, color up when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, at that point, you expect to be able to turn your chips back into cash.
This is typically how these transactions work at casinos.
One would assume. And when you get to the cage at Harvey's, they apologize for the inconvenience and tell you that you will need to go to Harrah's to cash the chips.
Of course you will.
Okay. Now, for all intents and purposes, this was not really that big of a deal. It was an extra 10 minutes of my life, which, you know, okay, it is what it is. It's a minor inconvenience. However, this is typically how they're running things right now. And if you offer tables in your location and you are soliciting cash to be turned into chips at that location, you gotta have a fucking cage.
Yeah.
You gotta have a cage. And we're not talking about some, you know, mom and pop casino. This property is owned by Caesars Entertainment. I don't care what you have to pay. You need to be able to staff at least to have a cage open. Now, I get it. If you're running a cage, not only is there the teller, but there's the supervisor. There's all sorts of other things that go into it. You can't expect people to hand you cash over the table and not let them know that they're going to have to go to a different property to redeem their chips.
Yeah.
I feel strongly about that. I think it was.
It's like getting chips at Golden Gate and being told you got to go over to Circa to cash your chips.
I mean, that's at least that was closer. That would be less of a. But yeah, okay. I mean, let's use that example just on principle.
Yeah.
You know, then I don't know. It definitely rubbed me the wrong way.
I'm sorry, sir. You can only cash these chips at Caesars in Las Vegas.
Correct. Between the hours of 3 yeah. and 6 p.m.
Yeah. So the next time you're in Vegas, go ahead and cash these chips.
Right. Yeah. So Tahoe was, again, absolutely beautiful. So everybody at Zorkfest that I spoke to was either staying at Harrah's or at Harvey's. We had a beautiful room with an amazing view. Like every, I mean, we were thrilled with the accommodations. I have a controversial topic to bring up. Now, in Lake Tahoe, there was no housekeeping of any kind. Not you can opt out, not housekeeping is not available.
Just we don't do it.
We don't do it.
Yeah.
Now, we were there for 3 days, I believe. Yeah, we were there for 3 days. So the first day I get there, I believe I have, an expectation of a clean room,
Yeah.
right? It's reasonable. I think I paid for the room. I'm gonna get a clean room. The second day, there's no services being rendered whatsoever. The third day, there's no services being rendered whatsoever. And the fourth day, when they do finally clean the room, they're cleaning the room for the next guest.
Right.
They have basically provided me no value from a housekeeping perspective.
Right.
Do you leave a tip?
No.
Yeah.
What are you tipping?
Okay. Well, that okay. So they had an envelope in the room to leave a tip.
Yeah. So, I would not tip. I mean, what are you tipping? So when we were in, we stayed at a Holiday Inn in San Diego, for a wedding. All they did when they came in was make the bed, because our room was a fucking mess, right? Because we got a kid and all this other shit, right? So like the room's kind of a mess. I actually didn't expect them to do anything, but they came in and they made the bed every day and they changed out the towels.
Okay.
That was enough, right? For me, I was like,
Sure.
okay, there's a little bit of, they've restored a little bit of order to the room, which is huge. The
Sure.
bed's made, it feels, and then they switch out the towels, which for me is like the biggest part of, that's the part of the housekeeping that I appreciate the most, just fresh linen. And so I left a tip because they did a little bit of this. But had they
Sure.
done anything, what would you be leaving a tip for? Yeah.
Well, that's right. So, having had absolutely nothing done, and one of the members in the group even called multiple times to have towels brought up and things of that nature, just no. Or, well, they tell you yes, but then they never came. So he tried three different times to no avail. So, as we, experience tipping becoming a greater and greater threshold, I'm getting to a point where I'm wondering, you have to do something for me, right?
Yeah.
And I firmly believe I have every right to show up to a clean room. So I'm not tipping you for the room being clean when I get there. I don't know. Some people tip, I think, for housekeeping, they tip quite a bit. I'm very good about tipping while getting service, but the people that tip every day and then leave a 20 at the end to say thank you, I haven't gotten any kind of service that warranted that. So, those of you who are telling me I'm a cheap fuck, that's fine.
So,
I'm okay with that.
since we're on the topic,
Yeah.
let's just get into it, right?
Yeah,
Let's just
sure.
really sink our teeth into it.
Sure.
So I used to be an awful tipper. When I was a young adult, I was a very bad tipper. Low percentages, right? I tipped very few types of people, right? It was pretty much like my barber and a waitress, and that was kind of it. Oh, and my bartender, right? I'd leave my bartender $1 for every drink. And gambling actually made me a better tipper, right? I won as I became got more into gambling with a better life, stuff like that. I also was making more money because my career was getting better.
Sure.
But I also just sort of noticed the different opportunities there are to tip, and I felt like, if my experience was being made better or could be made better through tipping, I explored that. I still, though, feel like there needs to be a service for a tip, right? And like, here's a good example. If And this is where, like, there becomes gray area, thin lines. You can say it, you're like, oh, what if you do it for this person, well, that person, I get all that. But like, I go to a place called And Pizza every once in a while for pizza, and they make your pizza for you right there. They make it for kind of Chipotle style pizza making, kind of. They make your pizza, they put it through a little oven or whatever. And when I pay at the end of that, they ask for a tip. I leave a smaller tip, right? I don't leave a full 20, but I leave a little something like, hey, thanks for making my pizza, right? But at the coffee shop, when you go, like, I ask for a black drip. Like, I'm not even asking you to make anything complicated. I'm literally asking you to flip the thing on the drip coffee until but right before it spills out of my cup, end it, and then hand it to me. When you flip over that thing, and it says, would you like to leave a tip? I might leave a dollar just because I'm in a good mood, and I get that people have those jobs for that reason, and I, you know, I like paying about it. But it feels really weird to be like, I mean, at some point there has to be a point where the transaction is just a transaction, right? And the question of what technically is, I don't leave my mechanic a fucking tip. That guy does a whole lot more for me than you know what I mean? Like, I should be tipping my urologist. I can't pulverize my own kidney stones. You know, like, that's an Office reference for anybody who didn't catch that. But, it starts getting to the question, like, I get that, like, yeah, you tip for good service, but then, like, what becomes services that you can and can't tip? Also, we as Americans will argue about this till the end of time, while Europeans are going to be like, well, we just pay, and we don't, you know, tipping is weird. But I enjoy tipping in the casino. I enjoy being able to provide good tips where it's deserved. But I do scale back, like, the amount I'm tipping when I feel like the service is a little more simple or straightforward and the transaction is just a transaction. I may leave a dollar at the coffee shop. I might leave my bartender a dollar or two per drink. But I'm not like one of these. It's 20% across the board in everything that I do, right? There is a scale to the amount of effort that I know that I can that I can physically see. I saw you just pour my coffee and then you handed it to me and then I paid for it. And presumably you were paid while this transaction was occurring.
Did they enhance your experience? Yes or no?
So that's a great question, right? Like, that's the, I mean, anybody who's ever gotten shitty service is like, why would I fucking leave a tip? You know what I mean? Like, that's the expectation. Like, the expectation of a tip regardless, and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, they split tips, stuff like that. I'm sorry. If they split tips, then everybody should hold the responsibility of providing good service. You know, like anyways, I'm not going to get that one. People will fucking eat you alive for.
Well, I don't care. But yeah. So Tim and Michelle put out a 500 episode yesterday where they discussed the merch table at a concert.
Stop it. They did not. Please tell me they didn't offer a tip.
So somebody called in and, you know, they bought a t-shirt or something like that at the merch table, and you pay with a credit card and they flip around the screen and it asks for 18, 22 or 25% tip. I'm not tipping okay. If they somehow, out of their knowledge and experience, added to my experience where it helped me get more out of it than I would otherwise in a regular transaction. Okay. Yeah, maybe. But that has not been my experience once at a merch table. So, you know, the conversation went around, you know, if it's a smaller venue, these people are not making a lot of money. I don't tell these people what to do for a living.
Yeah.
It's not my responsibility.
Yeah. And
frankly, if you provide a service of value, I'm very happy to tip. I like tip culture, whether it's a casino or otherwise. If it's a scenario where I can give you a good tip on the front end and I get a better service because of it, I'm all for it. I'm not trying to downplay or say that tips shouldn't be, but everybody's got their fucking hand out now. And I'm sorry, the girl who gave you a cup of coffee, you just paid for the cup of coffee. She didn't do anything for you. And yeah. I don't know that it was a girl, whoever the person is, right? It's everywhere now. And whether it's your merch table or if it's your coffee shop or it's the housekeeper that, you know, apparently some people feel obligated to tip for showing up to a clean room. I'm sorry. I think I have a reasonable expectation of the room being clean when I get there.
So I'm more inclined to leave the dollar tip in the tip jar for someone who's just handing me coffee because they're seeing me tip. They're right. They're associating face with they're seeing the actual tip. So that way, if the next time or two I come in, they either start pouring me my coffee, you know what I mean? Like if I can somehow get ahead of good service, I'm okay with that. But the thing that drives me nuts with this digital shit, right? They flip it over, you hit a thing, the screen resets. Like I'm sure they can go back to look, but like I'm not confident they know that I tipped. You know what I mean? Like, and so is my tip, to your point, is it actually doing something for me? Even if it's not, even if something wasn't done for me here, leaving the dollar in the tip jar, knowing I'm coming back here again, may provide good service in the future, right? There's a, you know, there's utility in that. But this, like, flip over the iPad and leave your fucking tip because, you know, I sneeze and you said God bless you and then asked for a tip, like, it, you know.
If you're a regular somewhere, you tip and you overtip because there's, you know, whether given everything that I said, that could all be true. You still tip when you're a regular somewhere, even if it's something that you wouldn't normally tip, just because you're going to be there all the time.
Sure.
Right.
And you don't want to be known as the jackass who never tips when you're a regular.
I'm known as the jackass for other reasons. So,
right. You know, but not the jackass who never tips. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. We don't want to add to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Tipping will never not be a topic of conversation, especially in this community where tipping culture thrives. But
well, yeah,
tipping at the fucking merch table, no. To your point,
draw the line somewhere.
To your point, you know what would be great is if everybody. I should probably set up like a tipping thing on the account that I run professionally, so that when someone hits the follow button and then asks if they want to provide a tip, would you like to supplement my income that I for the thing that I already get paid to do? I'm definitely not providing you value, right? If you read my content and enjoy it, I'm providing you value. Why don't you tipping me? Okay.
I read your content. I don't know if I enjoy it.
That's fair. By the way, if anybody's wondering, I'm my reference on running social media for a living, I'm not talking about The Better Life. I know some of you know what I'm talking about, but for those of you who may not know, I actually do digital media in my professional life. By the way, we have this never mind. I'll tell you another day. I have a hard time. I know I've mentioned where I work in some capacity on the show before, or at least I've hinted at it enough where if you're not an idiot, you could. I shouldn't say that because I don't want to imply that anybody's an idiot. But if you've tried to know where I'm working, you probably know. So I don't know, but I have all these cool things to say about where I work, and I don't know. I struggle with the balance of like, do I want to keep it completely out of it, or do I just want to enjoy where I work and tell people all the cool things about it? But that I'll figure that out for another day. You're in top. Tell us about Zorkfest, okay? It's mixed emotions on the accommodations. It sounded like.
No, I thought I listen. I thought the
no, like among the attendees, you said not everybody.
Oh yeah,
shared.
Yes. So Harris is definitely nicer than Harvey's, but even within Harris, some floors are much nicer than others. Some rooms were much nicer than others. We had a great experience. I have zero complaints. Other, you know, I thought the tip envelope was funny considering they said no to everything. But other than that,
I got a DM about you. I'm not gonna say who it was from. I don't know how, but what did this person say? Where does it go? On a separate note, I got to spend some time with Eric at Zorkfest. It's the most time I've spent with him, and I really enjoyed myself. So there you go. Someone enjoyed their time with you.
Good.
At least one person.
Does that person have a podcast?
That person has a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I don't think he would mind mentioning it.
I don't think Mr. Duffy from the Crab Vegas podcast enjoyed his time with you.
I spent a fair amount of time with him. I had a great time with him. It was really You know, sometimes you just click. And I mean, I've known him, and we've been a part of the same thing in the past, but that was the first time I actually spent any real time with a great guy. Great guy. I would hang out with him anytime.
By the way, you'd appreciate this as someone who once co-hosted a podcast. I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning this. Josh, please tell me if this bothers you that I'm bringing this up. But so a couple episodes ago, you know, they're new pod, they're relatively new. They're trying the next evolution of how their podcast sounds or whatever.
Yeah, I don't
And
think they're new anymore, though. I think they've graduated past. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, look, I can't, you know, my daughter was born yesterday in my mind still, right? So they tried like Crap Vegas had like this new intro, and it was like this like soft sounding meditation music as Chris said what was coming up on the podcast. And Josh said that they received feedback on that one particular aspect of that episode than they have for anything else for the show. And I was like, welcome to podcasting, my friend. Like something you think doesn't matter all of a sudden. And it just made me think of like the time we had you know, Art in the Game on the podcast talking about Springfield and just these things that we think don't matter, and all of a sudden everybody comes in with an opinion on something.
Yeah, but you know what? When a lot of people come in with the same opinion, you listen,
You listen.
right? Right? I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, there were. I remember Vito had Professor Slots
Professor Slots, yeah.
on the show, and I called Vito up immediately. I was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
Why?
And
He's
you know,
honest. He's a
he
good guy.
right,
Guy, it was fun.
exactly. He was like, "You're the only one that's complained." Well, you know, the episode dropped an hour earlier.
Yeah.
You're the only one that complained. He called me afterward. Oh my God, the amount of complaints that I got. And I don't know. I mean, Professor Slotz is a polarizing.
Yes.
Yeah. So in any event, not an attempt to throw shade,
No.
just sharing an anecdote where
Shared misery in podcasting is what it is. Yeah, and you'll try something and you think it's a throwaway attempt, or like you just try new things and all of a sudden boom, it's the you get the all this feedback. Okay, well, give me favorite thing about Tahoe gambling wise.
I hit aces with a kicker.
Word.
That was my yeah, there was a lot of so gambling wise, you know what? So what was a lot of fun, Michael had put together a private craps table that was kind of co-hosted by Mark and Mike from You Can Bet on That and Josh Duffy. And it was they made it a they were able to get it down to a $15 minimum, but you had to buy in for $1,000. And it was really nice just having everybody there.
Yeah.
So by the time I knew that I could go, it was already full, but a friend of mine allowed me to split her buy-in. So I was able to have action and be at the table, and you know, we just kind of took turns for a while. It felt like a family table. It was, you know, it was one of those like it's a meetup and we're all here together.
Yeah.
That was the best experience by far from a gambling perspective. Table limits were high.
Really?
Machines seemed tight. Yeah, I don't
Okay.
know that I'd absolutely go back, but gambling wasn't the reason to go.
Okay.
Yep.
Zorkfest in general. Not really, you know, just as an attendee, how did you enjoy it?
I had a great time. I
Good.
had a great time. Yeah, I think they did a I think they did a great job. You know, I probably have a rather unique insight that I've been behind the scenes for a number of these, so I
Yeah.
can, you know, I can see both what they're going for and where it went.
Doing those shows with Eric. I mean, like Eric and I can record for hours and effortlessly. I mean, that's what makes that so enjoyable and so easy to do. Monthly content on Better Life 2.0, a private feed. It's a $25 access fee right now. It'll be probably $30-$35 come the new year. So get in while it's good before the end of the year. Better Santa. I have acquired the first gift of the Better Santa gift sets. Really excited about these. For those of you that hopped on board the Better Santa, you should be excited. I think these are pretty cool. So these are going to be added. I don't know if I'm actually going to send out a form this time, a questionnaire. I used to send out questionnaires to get an idea of who you are as a bettor and as a gambler. And what I learned is that actually complicated a lot of the process, because I tried to get a little too nuanced and like, okay, that person's a blackjack bettor, so let me see if I can send this that's blackjack worthy. That person's a craps player, let me get a craps thing. That person really only plays video poker. Do I have something that's just video poker? It caused a little bit more stress. It complicated the effort a little bit. I may still send out a form to get a couple pieces of information for something, but I think I've chosen a few gifts that will really encompass just about will encompass most all gamblers, sort of a one size fits all. I think everybody's going to really enjoy it. So I like this approach. That's what's going on. Really excited. Got the things I'm looking at them right in front of me, handmade by a buddy of mine. I think you're really going to like them. I don't know if I have much else to say. I've had a couple people ask, hey, when's your next gambling trip? It may not be till May. Biloxi, 2024, May 2nd to 4th. Put it on your calendar now. Don't miss out. It's not a organized event, but it is an official meetup. We invite the entire gambling community to come out, whether you're a casino player, a sports bettor, it doesn't matter. Come down to Biloxi, hang out with us, maybe play some golf, play some baccarat, have some drinks with us, whatever it may be. It's an annual trip. I look forward to it every year. It gets bigger every year. Really excited. Biloxi 2024, May 2 to 4. I have not looked at the Survivor, the NFL Survivor. I'll have an update on that next week. I had two Survivor pools going. I'll admit I have not looked at those in a few weeks as I try to. This is what happened. I should have put this at the top. My daughter came home with the plague, the absolute worst daycare crud. I know it's typical, but I'm a new dad, so I get to call it the worst. And it wiped out the whole household. I mean, me and my wife, and it was like, it wasn't all at once, of course, right? My daughter had it for a week, and then my wife had it for a half a week, and then I had it for the better part of a week. And then right as we're starting to get the ball going, she gets a fever, and that's disrupting our life. So it's been a month of the kid getting, she loves daycare. She loves seeing her teachers and stuff like that, but she is coming home with daycare crud as expected. So between work and home, sickness and travel and all sorts of things, the better life just had to take a little break. But so that's the little update over here. That's all I got. The last thing I'll say is this will be the only episode that I put out before Veterans Day. If you are a United States veteran from the United States, if you're a veteran of the United States military, I should say, your local casino or the casino program that you use the most will likely have a veteran program. A lot of casinos have this. And what it typically entails is a complimentary upgrade to the second tier. Now, that's for a lot of the bigger companies, MGM, Caesars, stuff like that. And then usually stuff like free parking, maybe 10% off of like the casino shop and 10% off of dining. Sometimes they have themed nights of, you know, veterans, military, and first responders where maybe you might get free play. Look, I'm not all into like milking the whole veteran thing. Like, I'm not the guy asking if you have a veteran discount everywhere that I go. I don't hit up five restaurants on Veterans Day for free meals. But I mean, if you're a vet and you like to go to casinos, I mean, it'd be silly not to take advantage of this. You're gonna get out ahead. Now, when they give you the upgrade and tier, most places don't give you tier credits to go with it. So, if you have zero tier credits or whatever, like, you're gonna get the second tier, but you're not gonna have any tier credits to back it up. You will still have to accumulate those credits to then go into the third tier, if you will, like, and you have to go all the way through that first and second tier. They're not going to give you tier credits starting out at second tier. So that's something important to remember. Okay, that's all I got. Shout out to my veterans out there. Happy birthday to all my Marines that'll be celebrating with me on the 10th. Marine Corps birthday. Hope you have some cake. I'm Timothy Lawson. On behalf of my better half, Eric Rosenthal, good night. Good luck. Go Batters.